Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So, what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.
I went over to Scotland about 6 weeks ago. We went on a whiskey distillery tour, and it was sad and fantastic. And he was a beautiful man, wonderful man.
Subscribe to the Rugby Stream on the OTB Sports app now.
The Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.
And this is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5. You can text us 53106. We're streaming the conversation as well, so you can listen on News Talk, watch us on the Off the Ball digital and social channels, or Periscope on Twitter, at Off the Ball, YouTube, Facebook, and on the OTB Sports app. This is the Saturday Panel, everybody, and there are 5 GAA Senior Provincial Club Finals down for a decision this weekend at 3:15 today. Ballygunner, the All-Ireland champions from Waterford, face Clare's Ballyhale in the Munster Club Hurling Final in Thurles. Then tomorrow we've got a doubleheader in Leinster, but Kilkenny's Ballyhale Shamrocks up against Kilmacud Crokes of Dublin, and the hurling decider at 2:30, followed by the footballers of Kilmacud playing Westmeath's The Dans at 4:30. The Connacht football decider between Moy Cullen of Galway and Sligo's Turlestrana at 12:45 tomorrow at Pearse Stadium. The Ulster hurling final sees Antrim's Dunloy and Derry Slochneil compete at 1:30 at the Athletic Grounds. The GAA Club Championship on OTB Sports in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Joining us to talk all things club and studio with us, the former All-Ireland winner with St Bridget's and Athlone Town goalie Shane Kern. Shane, how is the form today?
Good afternoon, John. Very good, yeah.
You made it up to the big smoke.
Yes, always good to get out of the West and up to the city, without a doubt. And to be sitting beside a Spurs supporter as an Arsenal supporter is great as well on a Saturday coming up to Christmas.
Well, you're top of the league.
And we're not. Yeah, that's true. Thankfully.
And Martinelli and Jesus out of the World Cup. Martinelli played well last night. Your Xhaka, you know, you're looking at these lads as well and you're obviously taking an interest in them.
Absolutely. And even, funny enough, some of the best goalkeepers are ex-Arsenal goalkeeper Szczesny, obviously, with Poland, has been outstanding, obviously, with Juventus now. And he was ex-Arsenal and really been really, really good. I think he's a top goalkeeper in the Cup at the moment. And Ramsdale can't even get a game for England, and he's probably the top goalkeeper in England as well. So the Brits, it'll be a good weekend, I think. You know, I think they won't get it all their own way against the USA. I think it'll be a really, really good game. Or Senegal, I think, isn't it?
Senegal
tomorrow night. I think it'll be a really good game, and I don't think it's a foregone conclusion at all. But the Arsenal guys are going right well. Delighted to see Partey back, actually, from Ghana. That's, you know, he's been injured, picking up a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and they're out of the World Cup now,
and he's pivotal, a bit like Jesus. Looks like the injury isn't as bad as first feared. So hopefully he'll be back in for January anyhow.
Sure. And we also have the ex-Leinster winner with Greg Ballycallan and All-Ireland hurling champion with Kilkenny, Eddie Brennan, and the former All-Ireland football captain with Kilmacud Crokes, Johnny McGee, on the line. Eddie and Johnny, how's the form?
Good afternoon.
Eddie, I believe you're down in Porky Rin tomorrow with Ross Gray.
I got involved kind of late in the year, around the end of July, with Ross Gray. And look, they're a good group. They were well on their way at that stage to get to a county final and finish the job off. So it was nice to get asked in and be part of the group and kind of get to play the kind of, I suppose, a bit of an observer to a point, which is grand. You're doing your bit of coaching and stuff like that. But it's nice to be, I think, when you're not the number one, there's definitely a little bit more, you're a little bit more relaxed within you, and you can focus on what you're trying to achieve. So it's an unusual one tomorrow. The Leinster final is up in Croke Park, and we're heading to Porky Ring. But yeah, thoroughly enjoying that.
This is the Munster Intermediate hurling final between Ross Cray and Monaline of Limerick. And I suppose it's a day, Eddie, when the parish and the community, when 100 people is just as important as 10,000.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, sure, look, the club campaign, I think it's definitely, look, I'm often critical of certain aspects of the GAA, but this is one competition that I think just captures the imagination of every single club, young fellas, old fellas alike, ladies. It doesn't matter what part of the club you're from. This is the competition that definitely captures the imagination. And, you know, whoever it was, I stand to be correct on this, I think it was possibly Shawnee Kelly in his tenure maybe, whose initiative it was to extend that out further to junior and intermediate. And it was just absolutely brilliant, because I think, you know, the inter-county dream is one thing, but I think the club dream is obviously the big one for everybody, because the inter-county dream is definitely out of reach for some. And the extension of it, you know, outside of senior meant that there was guys who maybe were never going to get to Croke Park, and that and they can go and represent their club in a Munster Championship or a Leinster Championship or Ulster Connacht, whatever it is. So in that regard, it is for me probably one of the big, big competitions, because it's there's a dream there. If you win your junior championship at home, your intermediate championship as well, there's a big day out potentially. And it's a great little journey in a time of the year when it's kind of cold and maybe people aren't, you know, we don't get top of the ground, you know, hurling our football or camogie or whatever it is. But it's a real graft, and I think that's probably the very essence of what club is about, just an arm wrestle. It's a great leveller this time of year with the weather as well.
Shane Curran, you know, you were part of the St. Bridget's team that had such heartbreak for many years, and then in 2013 you got over the line. And I suppose the journey and the tapestry of a club is illuminated in the fact that you have these heartbreaks, and then you reach an All-Ireland final and you have a very close game with Ballymun Kickhams, and then you finally come through.
Yeah, looking back on it, John, it's just nearly 10 years ago now. It goes so quick. But yeah, it was an incredible journey, I suppose, for the club. Started probably right back in 2005, 1997 probably, I suppose, really was the start of kind of the renaissance of Bridget's after a 27 or 28 year hiatus. And not winning the championship in Roscommon, where Clannagale were really the kingpins. And we came in 97. I hadn't been part of the team. I just got married in 98 and moved up to the club. And in 2005, we set off, I suppose, won the first of the three in a row, and won Connacht in 2006, beaten by Cross Madeleine in All-Ireland semi-final in 2007, beaten in the final in 2010, back again in the semi-final, beaten by Gary Castle in 11. And again, that journey just kept going. And the players, I suppose, really, we were fortunate. We had a lot of really experienced Gardner and a lot of heartbreak in the bank, really, before we broke the bank. And got through and won the All-Ireland in 2013. And, you know, I suppose we're grateful, really. We'd fantastic management and coaching with Kevin and Kevin McStay, and with Lee McHale came in as well with Kevin and Benny O'Brien. And they really set the tone for that year in 2012 in Roscommon, and obviously going forward then into the Connacht Championship and into the All-Ireland Championship, where we had to overcome Cross Madeleine in the semi-final before we could ever think of Ballymun. So, yeah, it was an incredible journey, and one that we look back on very fondly. But look, we were fortunate. We were just fortunate to be part of a great group of players and a great club. And we got over the line on the day with you know, a lot of tumultuous fighting as well, and, you know, trying to get through that Ballymun defence. And that team were an incredible team. I think five of them went on to win for multiple All-Irelands with Dublin, obviously, and they got off to a wonderful start. We were we were 8 points down after about 5 or 6 minutes, and we managed to fight our way back in the game with some unbelievable performances. Carl Mannion, Frankie Dolan were just outstanding. Senan Kilbride, right through the team, really, and we got there in the end, but it was a great journey, yeah.
The 11th of June is when Roscommon's footballers were knocked out of the championship by Clare this year. Has a split season helped the club game? Has it worked, in your view?
I'm not sure, John. I heard, I was just thinking, seeing Pádraig Joyce saying that he wasn't in favour of it. I feel that it's going in the right direction, but I think it probably needs tweaking. I think the county players really are the ones that are hardest done by in the whole kind of rebirth of the championship and the so-called split season. But really, is it split at all? You know, for the county player, he's going almost 12 months a year. He's getting really little or no break. And I'm managing a club in Westmeath Colliery, and they obviously had a great year under Jack Cooney and won the Tailteann Cup. But the captain, Kevin Maguire, you know, they were back out on the pitch the following week, weren't really able allowed to celebrate their occasion without the pressure of being back with the clubs 7 days later. So I think things like that need a little bit of tweaking. I think it needs a little bit of elongating as well. I think to have the championship over in early July, I think it leaves us with a lot of the summer that I think we're losing probably a little bit of marketing and a little bit of promotion of our games, maybe to a certain extent. But I think the big thing is breaks for the players and seeing can that be improved upon. I think, look, there's been a lot of really good things with the split season, but it certainly needs a bit of tweaking.
Just in terms of the different feeling, say, from St. Bridget's when you won the All-Ireland there to when you're winning your provincial crown with Roscommon back in 2001, is there completely a world of difference between being a club player and being a county player and tasting success in different manners?
Well, it's funny, I think Eddie alluded to it there. You know, for many counties, you know, the All-Ireland dream is really, it's out of the reach, you know. And I think certainly in terms of the GAA, the Tailteann Cup has been a great improvement on that, and given counties outside of that sphere the opportunity to actually compete apples with apples in a championship that they're capable of maybe competing and winning. In club game, you know, I think it offers up. Like we see this weekend, you have Moy Cullen, for example, in Connacht with Tour de Strand. Neither of them have won Connacht championships. I think it's, in Tour de Strand's case, the first in 40 years. So there's the far greater opportunity, I think, for clubs to actually go and compete at senior level to try and get to Connacht finals and Leinster finals and provincial finals and All-Irelands. And in our case, you know, to win an All-Ireland for Roscommon is probably not going to be attainable unless things change over the next 20 years. But for a senior club team to win it like we did in 2013, I think it gave the county a huge, huge boost with really good success then at under-21 level. Not that they were both aligned, but I think it gave players confidence, and we've won two or three Connacht titles since. We've been competing in Connacht. But unfortunately, it's a bit of a glass ceiling then to break through into the top six or seven counties in the country, because you're basically down to a numbers game, and we just don't have them in great enough numbers in Roscommon at the moment. But
yeah,
for the club, yeah, it was just phenomenal, you know. But the other thing, then, John, you know, I think society and societal changes probably played a part as well. Like when we won the All Ireland, there was only four lads who had a dad or a mother from the area. We were all either imports, or we moved into the area, or the mothers and fathers moved into the area over a 20, 30-year span. So the players were not necessarily of Bridget's, but certainly part of the community.
Just in terms of this Connacht final then, is the success of a club like Carrickfinn then, does that feed into Galway's confidence? And then Galway reached the All-Ireland this year. Did you feel that St. Bridget's helped Roscommon? You know, if Tour de Strand win tomorrow, would it do a lot for Sligo GAA? Is there a knock-on effect, or is he seen as separate entities?
I think there certainly is an effect, because I think the standards are driven by the players that
inside the county. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the key, and there's kind of maybe a culture shift then towards knowing that you can compete, knowing that you can beat the big kingpins from Armagh or Dublin, or in our case Nemo Rangers as well over the years. Cross, obviously, and then Ballymun to win All-Ireland. So you're beating the cream of the top counties to actually achieve that. And that sets a standard. And I think the players then, when they go from these clubs into counties, they improve that standard, and the management's improved the standard. So I think absolutely, Moy Cullen, Carrickfinn have had huge success, as you've alluded to there, over the last number of years. Brilliant club. Won numerous All-Irelands. But and
never have won a Connacht senior, though, have they? Moy Cullen.
No, Moy Cullen haven't. Yeah, no, yeah. But I mean, like, you've Don Kennellan, obviously, who's a former colleague of mine, and you know, he's been involved with the NUIG at Sigerson level, and they've won that. And I heard Owen Gallagher praising actually his impetus there with Moy Cullen. He's brought that kind of winner's mentality to them, and they have players as well, I suppose, really, that have been around that Sigerson Cup level stuff that has helped the standard. And certainly, look, they've competed in Galway. They've won two of the last three county finals. They're going to be thereabouts for the coming years, and the addition of Owen Gallagher has been a huge, huge plus to them. And Fergal Down and Tour de Strand, I think they've won seven county titles in a row. It is their first Connacht final in 40 years, I think. But having O'Donnell there, Fergal there, that's won a Connacht championship with Roscommon in the past as a manager, been involved in inter-county management, will surely drive the standard there. And I think Sligo as a county are going quite well as well.
I think this is the last days of COVID, when we used technology for 3.5 years. And I think the technology is eventually saying, you know what, you need to go back to normal times. Johnny McGee, an amazing time for Kilmacud at the moment.
Yeah, phenomenal. You know, the two teams, obviously two lads teams in the Leinster final tomorrow. Historic day for the club. You know, the girls won the Leinster title there for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and unfortunately they came up short last week. So look, it's been an exciting time in the club, and looking forward to tomorrow, and then look, young Brian Sheehy has to tug out for the hurlers and then out for the footballers, you know, and that connection then, like, Brian's mum was my teacher in primary school in St. Lawrence's, in the local school, so, you know, she taught me for fifth class to sixth class, so it's nice to see that community and, you know, that connection, you know, and then I think Brian's older brother brought Lauren to his dad's or something, so it's a nice connection there, so.
And Johnny, how has this come about that you've got the footballers, obviously you've got a strong tradition, but the hurlers in it, is it the likes of Kula inspiring you? Is it, you know, just great work at the club? You have the ladies team, you got Lauren in the team as well. So how has it come to pass that Kilmacroke Crokes are doing so well at the moment?
A lot of credit goes down to the coaches and parents get putting time back into their own children. You know, a lot there's a lot of fingerprints all over, but all of the lads and the girls teams in terms of former players, parents being involved with the teams, and look, they've, you know, it's been brilliant. You know, Peter Walsh has been a big driving factor in the hurling section. You know, Niall Corcoran as well, who Eddie would know for being involved with, like, fantastic guy. You know, has his fingerprints all over it as well. Like, Paul McDonald would have been our GPO for the last 20 years, you know, as well. So, like, there's a lot of work gone into it in terms of going into the skills and, you know, like, our own former players getting involved, coming back down to the academy and with the teams underage. There's, you know, when I got involved with management, prior to me getting involved with management as a player, we were asked to come and help with the teams who might be in fail or anything like that. So, look, it's been a big kind of plan in place in terms of, you know, former players getting involved or current players getting involved with the juvenile teams, you know, and look, it's great to see it. And look, delighted to see the hurling side of it as well coming through. And then obviously the ladies, the last day are winning Leinster, and look, the personal connection obviously with Lauren, but they also with my mum was part of five or six mothers along with John Sheridan, who helps start ladies football in Crokes because they had a pain in their backside bringing their daughters to watch their older brothers play. So yeah, it was nice to have that connection. And my sister, then they won the intermediate championship for the first time 22 years ago, and Lauren was 3 years of age and she's the mascot that day. So and then you fast forward 22 years later and she wins her first Dublin senior title. So look, it's a nice time for the club, you know. Hopefully they we'll make success of it, but nothing's ever guaranteed, and you know, this might never happen again. So I think it's important that the lads take the opportunity and go with it tomorrow, you know.
It's important, and I could be guilty of this sometimes of highlighting the inter-county game a bit too much, Johnny, but we haven't had an All-Ireland final match since July 24th, and telling the stories you're telling there about the fabric of the family and the community, and that is the bedrock of the association. You wouldn't have a GA without that. So it is important for you, as you're doing now, to just to tell the folks out there who are listening that this is something that is passed from generation to generation.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, one of my first memories, you know, in terms of football, was 6 years of age. I was in 1984. I was becoming age right now, but Noel Clancy was part of that Dublin Minor team that won the All-Ireland in 84. Would have been Paul Clark, would have been the captain that year. And he brought the All-Ireland Cup back to Glenalvon. And there's a photograph, it actually came up during lockdown, of myself and, you know, Robbie Bean in the very front, first line of the cheering the lads with the cup, you know. And that was my first boiling memory of GA and that, you know. And Robbie Bean, who has been an underage coach in our club and the current second team manager, but has his fingerprints on the likes of Dan O'Brien and a few others on the group are playing tomorrow. So, you know, it's like, I know in terms of, you know, you fast forward 20 something years and obviously the population grows and everything else, but, you know, our club was very much a community club, started from scratch. You know, and yes, look, it has grown immensely, but like it all comes from good people. And as Shane alluded to there, like, you know, my mum's from Wexford, my dad's from Donnybrook, and my mum, they set up roots in Stillorgan. So, like, and the same way with Lee McBurn, who's from Fermanagh, but set up roots in Stillorgan. His wife ended up playing for the club, his kids are playing, he's under 16 manager. So, look, it's, you know, it's part and parcel of what we're about. GAA clubs in general, you know, everyone's the door's always open, you know, with the right core, with the right values of what you're looking for, you know.
Has the split season worked, Johnny, in your view?
I think it has, yeah. You know, I think it's benefited. I know, like, there's the argument, like, as soon as the county lads or any of the teams were beaten or knocked out of championship, they're all gone to the States, but you can hardly blame them either. Like, they've been locked up for the last 2 years. So, like, I think it's worked in terms of, you know, the club player having a defiant season. And then, look, I know Shane alluded there in terms of 12, but going for 12 months when I was playing, you know, with Eddie and Shane, like I was lucky enough to be a part of a good double R, good pro side that was successful. But, like, you know, I was more or less going for nearly 12 months a year as well. You know, you took your 4 or 5 weeks off and you rolled back in with it, you know. And I think it's just, I think maybe there's sometimes you can make a meal of it. Lads just want to play football. And I think it's given those other lads. I didn't value how much commitment the club players, the lads did until I finished playing with Dublin. So it got to 10 years nearly playing with Dublin. And it wasn't until I finished seeing what the extent of what they put into it, because there was a good few of us involved with county, and you know, the seven was coming back in, and then we had two or three lads who might have been Brian Cabinet and Nigel Morrissey and Neymar Barron, three lads who were at other counties. So 10 lads gone. You come back in then to the lads who have been there soldiering for, I think, 18 okay. lads, and you know, I didn't really value the commitment that they had given while we were away.
Okay.
And it opened my eyes to the commitment that they did, and I think they deserve to have that defined season and not just be waiting around for...
Okay, we've got to take a break, Johnny. Just sorry, they've got to take a break on the Saturday panel with Shane Kerr and Johnny McGee and Eddie Brennan. We're back after the news. And this is the Saturday panel on Off the Ball with John Duggan until 5, the show, and then the panel will run for about another half an hour. You can text us 53106. You can tweet us at Off the Ball. We're chatting about Club GAA to the former All-Ireland winning players Shane Curran and Johnny McGee, and Kilkenny hurling legend and current Ross Craig coach Eddie Brennan. So the GAA Club Championship on OTB Sports in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Irelands. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Shane Curran, we have this amazing story that Johnny McGee was saying before the break. Brian Sheehy's playing hurling tomorrow for Kilmacud, is on the bench for the footballers in the one day. Have you ever played Athlone Town and Club GAA or Intercounty GAA in the same day?
That's an unbelievable story. All right, to Johnny, let us know about there. It's amazing. I think I might have been missing an action one day. All right, I think we're playing Meath, and we were at Athlone were playing Bohemians, and Dermot Erdegaard, rest him, I don't think understood where it was.
until he looked at the highlights of the Sunday
many a day, not the same day that I can remember, but certainly I remember times coming from Ballybuffet and Cove back to one particular time, coming from Ballybuffet on a Saturday evening back down to play a league game in Galway the following day in the football. So that time the league football and the soccer league would have been winter time, so it was a different type of journey. You were coming back at night and early starts and all that sort of stuff. So there was a few of those, but not too many on the one day. No, no, absolutely not.
Eddie Brennan, it's 2000 when Greg Ballycannon won Leinster, and you know, you, unfortunately for yourselves, you lost the All-Ireland. At the time, you were a young player and you were just making your way with Kilkenny. Do you think at the time we're going to be there for a long time, and it just didn't really work out that way? And sometimes the club doesn't always end in a fairy tale.
Yeah, definitely. It's a day that, you know, that Easter Monday in 2001 will never leave my memory, because I think coming down the straight with time nearly gone, we were 4 points to the good, and I missed two really good opportunities to make it 5. And, you know, Athenry being the team they were, they came back and they got a draw and it went to extra time, and that was the end of our fairy tale with the club. But it was, yeah, and I think at the time, I was only 22 or that, and you kind of felt we had a young enough crew of fellas on that team. We were after winning 2 out of 4 county finals, I think. We definitely thought we'd be back. And I think, you know, the bus journey home from that Club All-Ireland defeat, it wasn't as disappointing as maybe, you know, we see now, because we genuinely felt we'd get back. And we got to the county final that year at home, and Loughlin's beat us comprehensively, and that was it. We didn't get near a county final after that ever again. So while you have some very strong teams in hurling and football that have, you know, made a really good tradition of it, I think certainly the majority of teams, you get in there and you might get one crack at it. And I think that's the big thing. You have to really make the hay when that happens, because I remember it very well. It was a great journey, you know, going to Carlo. We played a match, Leinster final against UCD in Nolan Park, and then up to Turles, where we had two great matches with Six Mile Bridge. And then, you know, you're going to Club All-Ireland on Easter Monday in Croke Park. So, you know, for a small rural parish like ours, that was phenomenal. It was just an absolute roller coaster for everybody, young and old, and lives long in our memories. But unfortunately, look, it wasn't to be. But, you know, we had a second crack at it then, as I said earlier, in the newer competition with the intermediate. We won that in 2018. So it was kind of bringing back memories. But just one of the, just a real, I suppose, gold nugget in all the competition in the GAA. But yeah, bittersweet memories, really, John.
Eddie, does it drive standards within Kilkenny? And did the Brian Cody era then, when you won all those All-Irelands, then drive standards within the club game? Did it get quite... Was the rivalry heated between the clubs in Kilkenny?
Yeah, probably helped too. I think when you see teams doing well, or you see a club team, look, I think you'll always want your county team to win. You know, Johnny just touched on it there about the, you know, the 12 months of the season, and that was one year that when we look back, we didn't complain about it, and I'd have loved to have had it back again. But certainly during the winter months, when you see, you know, whoever it is, Ballyhale or James Stevens, you know, James Stevens were forced to win that Club All-Ireland. Ballyhale then went on an incredible run. I think O'Loughlin's got to one or two, you know, a semi-final and a final as well. So it does, you were looking at the lads and you were kind of jealous of them, because we were going into the winter grind before Christmas. You were getting into the pre-season and you were kind of you were jealous of the lads that were with the club, saying, geez, they're grand, they're going to miss all the heavy lifting and they'll come back just when the evenings are getting long. But yeah, it does. It's good. It brings, it, good competition, and tough competition breeds better competition. It brings lads along, and I think particularly with Kilkenny, like when you had five or six Ballyhale lads were outside of the squad during league campaigns, it presents some brilliant opportunities for other guys to stake a claim and get good game time. So yeah, all in all, it was a good thing. And I think you also, as a club, you take on that responsibility of representing the county, and you take that on your shoulders as well. So it's all in all, look, exciting times really, and you love to be part of that.
Ballyhale's run in the last years has been so impressive. Now, they'll be very sore that they lost to Ballygunner in the way they did last year, but that's the beauty of sport, and that gives them motivation to come back. What has been the bedrock of that foundation for their success, in your view? Is it having Henry in charge? Was it just the tradition they had back to the 70s and 80s? Why Ballyhale being so strong?
I suppose, look, you have quality there is probably the big thing, but I think what Ballyhale always had, and again, this is, you know, I suppose I was looking in as a young fella, you know, my father bringing me into county finals through the 80s and into the 90s, and you were watching them and seeing what they'd done. They grew a tradition then, and they have just kind of fostered that all along and you know, nurtured it. And I think handed it on is the big thing, because I think the older generations have all got involved, and whether it's administration or chairman, you know, you look at Mick Fenley Sr., for example. You know, he won a good few county finals, won his Club All-Irelands, went back in as chairman and oversaw, I think he was selector in maybe 07, 08 with them, with James McGarry. And then he went in as chairman and oversaw, you know, that side of it. So, you know, that was Henry's team. But probably for me, one of the key components with any team that gets a run in a club series, it's not so much their county guys. I think it's really the guys, the leaders that are at home in the club are probably the key guys there, because the county lads don't have to come back and play, you know, two positions or have that mentality that they have to shoot the lights out. I think they go along and play their position. And the teams that do well invariably have strong guys in all positions. And, you know, for example, like, you know, one guy that I think was really important to Ballyhale, maybe two lads, was the likes of Bob Aylward there. Was, you know, I went to school with Bob, and he was just a brilliant guy to mind the club younger lads all through the league or the summer when Kilkenny lads were away, and then, you know, keep the leadership side. Aidan Cummins was another guy like that. So when you have guys of that quality, I think that helps. Then the county lads come back and they strengthen it up and they help it along. But Ballyhale are just a very, very unique club. I think you have to just admire them. They're pulling from a very small population and they just seem to be handing it down. I think a few years ago in 17, the mindset in the county was that Ballyhale maybe were going to slip back a little bit. Henry and these lads were coming to the end of their tether. But they have just, they won an under-21 championship in Kilkenny that year against the head with a bunch of 19-year-olds. And here we are now with possibly their, you know, their third and maybe going into their fourth generation of All Ireland club winners.
And they play Kilmacud Crokes tomorrow. Johnny McGee, proud Kilmacud man. Is this a surprise, the hurlers in a Leinster final? Has this come out of nowhere or has this been bubbling?
It's been bubbling. Like last year, I know they were being very disappointed at the performance getting beaten in the semi final. So I think, Kieran Dowling and Dermot Howdy, like, you know, they put a lot of work into the lads. You know, as you mentioned earlier about Kula having that success and they're only down the road. But a lot of work has gone into that, to the hurling side of things. And talking to Dermot, who was teaching them the skills with the leg coaching, you know, they were trying, they felt they let themselves down a small bit last year with their performance when they got beaten in the last semi-finals. I think it was just kind of with that group. But the big thing for this group at the moment, like, they're missing five or six of that starting team that would have won the county title last year. And there's a lot of young lads who have gone in there and taken the jersey and made it their own and pushed on. And it's amazing when you have that kind of fearlessness in terms of young players going in and relishing the challenge. And those young lads are being coached very well. So from my perspective as a crowd looking on, it's no surprise that they're there. They would have seen a lot of goals for them, or the All-Irelands of Kill have won down the road. And that would have been a kind of a, like, they would have played against a lot of those guys all the way through, underage all the way through. So they would have been quite confident that if they got themselves in a right position and put themselves in the county final and win them, that they're more than capable of going and competing. Now, look, they have a huge challenge ahead of them tomorrow with the experienced side, multiple All-Ireland winners. So, look, yeah. But as mentioned already, when you have that kind of youth and exuberism and no fear factor, you know, and Co Park will suit them in terms of the athleticism and speed. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, you know.
And the footballers, Johnny, tomorrow, it's two sides of a coin, isn't it? You know, you were an All-Ireland winning captain in, you know, just a decade ago, you beat Cross McGlenn, but you've also had your disappointments. Mullinocta, Kilcoo last year was very, very tough to take. So sometimes it's either joy celebration or the head under the duvet for a few days.
Yeah, Mullinocta thing now is still fine getting over that as being involved as a manager at the time, but like even the Aeroge, when we got beaten by Aeroge after the three games trilogy. That group now are pretty resilient, you know, to come bounce back from the disappointment of Mullinocta and then coming back and then winning two back-to-back Dublin and into a second Leinster final in a row. Serious opportunity for them. They would have been hurt after the Kilkilma final. They should have won it twice. But, you know, the game was never up until the referee blows the whistle. And the thing is, like, you know, they had opportunities to kill Kilkilma off and they didn't take them. So you're hoping, I'm hoping is that, they, you know, that they've learned those lessons. And look, Croke Park suits the lads. They're very familiar right now at this stage. You know, Downs as the first Leinster final in 50 years. So, you know, lads are all well in favourites, but look, there's nothing ever guaranteed. And I think the lads have shown a huge amount of resilience. So I'm hoping that will stand to them. And look, that group are pretty meticulous and run themselves practically in terms of how they look after themselves off and on the field in terms of stats and research on opposition, you know, and then like Baggio and the lads there, Ron O'Neill and Finlan Kennedy and around them there, like good Crokes lads. So look, who were involved with the All Ireland success when I was captain, you know. So look, fingers crossed, like it was 13 years since we were last in the 14 this year, so we last won it. So it comes around, and when we won it was 15 years previous when McDonnell lifted the All Ireland. So look, you're hoping that it won't be anymore, but like Eddie mentioned it there, like, you know, these opportunities come few and far between, you know, and if you don't grab them, it could be a long time before you go back there again. So you're hoping that Crokes will do what the Kilkeel did last year, you know.
So there's a rituals now tomorrow, Johnny. Is there a big bus leaving Kilmacud to Croke Park? You don't have far to go, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I'm in Ashburn at the moment, so I live here 18 years, but
will you have a guard escort, Johnny, will you?
What's that?
A guard escort.
Oh, yeah. No, jeez. No. I think they're meaning...
Eddie Brennan could do a job there.
I think there's a piper going along with all the kids, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes. Well, look, listen, it's going to be a massive day. And hopefully, look, it'd be nice to see both teams win it, you know, and not be on the losing side and the other team win. So it'd be probably a a rock and a hard place if one team win and one team lose, you know.
Shane Curran, you're involved in Westmeath club football, so you must have a dossier on the Downs, do you?
Yeah, actually, funny enough, yeah, we had. I think there'll be a bus, I don't think Johnny alluded, there'll probably be a bus going from Kilcurran to Clonburn tomorrow to see Shane Walsh in the Leinster Foot Club final. I think Johnny mentioned everyone there about Shane Walsh, but I think that's one of the...
They're in the ladies' final. So.
Yeah, correct, that's right. And I actually have very close ties to Kilclare and Clonburn, as it happens. My first cousins, all the Dailies down there, and Geraldine, God rest her, my aunt, actually was synonymous with the club down there. So there's a bit of a relationship down there. So, yeah, but in fairness, Shane Walsh has been a huge, huge...
Are you cool with that as a Gael?
Sorry?
Are you cool with it? I mean, like, you know, the transfers are not a new thing. Like Larry Tompkins and Shea Fahey were Kildare footballers that ended up playing for Cork.
I'm all for it. Look, I mean, if we could have Eddie Brennan in Roscommon hurling for Roscommon, we'd win the McCarthy Cup, or we'd McGee's. We've Darren, I think, down closest to us down here, down in Athlone. No, I'm all for that. I think at the end of the day, we need to understand that there's free movement of people, and let the likes of Shane and everyone else go and play wherever they want to play. And obviously, when they set down roots, there, as Darren alluded to earlier on, people move freely in and out of clubs, and that's the nature of life now. And will continue to be so. And look, I'm delighted he got his move. I know it's very hard for the likes of Kildare and Clonburn and Alcott and Joking aside to lose a talent like that. And it's hard maybe for Galway football as well to see a player going. But that's the nature. I don't think we should be putting any barriers in their way. I do think that maybe some clubs do overstep the mark in terms of their transfer strategy. There are clubs who have an open door policy and will attract players in by certain means that I wouldn't necessarily be in favour of, but that's part and parcel, I think, of the way life is going, and players wanted to play at the top with the top players is only normal, I think.
Yeah, the Downs then, this is a romantic story, 50 yep. years, a Westmeath club in a Leinster final.
Yeah, I think it's the first in 50 years. And funnily enough, there's a St. Bridget's man very, very closely tied to them, Tommy Kelly, who's Tech Engineering there. And Tommy is synonymous with the Downs over the last, I think, 20 years since he moved up there. He's got in Lar Wall this year. The Downs have, and Lar has been synonymous with Meath football for quite some time. Really, really good coach, really good manager. I was very impressed with them in Westmeath. We met them in the Championship. We had a very, very good game with them, Colliery. Actually, we probably had a very good chance to beat them in normal time, and we ended up losing by a point. But they're a good side. And I have a feeling that Croke Park will suit both sides. And I think, you know, both teams have got two really, really top marquee forwards. And obviously the aforementioned Shane Walsh with Kilmacud, but then we've Luke Loughlin with the Downs. And he's been really fantastic for them. Obviously his story has been well highlighted. But he's playing superb football now. And they're a very athletic team. They remind me a lot of Dublin, I suppose, over the past 6 or 7 years. They've got a marauding half-back line that really, really are excellent. And that's really where their biggest threat is. I don't think the game is as cut and dried as people think. I think the Downs will run Kilmacud quite close, if not beat them. I'm looking forward to the game. I think it'll be a really, really good game and a good advertisement for football, as I think the club championship has been over the last number of years. I think Eddie alluded to it there. It's really the you know, gives the lads that aren't necessarily seen as the stars that kind of platform. And we were very fortunate as well in Bridges, like with the likes of Dara Donnelly, with the two Dolans, Darren and Garvin Dolan, the likes of Niall Graham and lads like that, who were running the club while we were playing intercounty football and coming back. And once you came back into it, then it was seamless, you know. And I think the Downs have 5 or 6 players involved with Westmeath. But they've also got 5 or 6 players that are really, really strong club players, and they've a young guy called Tom Tewitt as well, who's a really, really good forward. So I think it'll be a really good football match, and you know, they're two really good football teams.
Shane, in 2013, you won, I think, by a point, was it? Were you going mad in that match? Were you just shouting at everybody? Were you going through the emotional ringer? Do you remember much of it, or is it just a blur of process?
No, to be honest about it, I do remember quite a bit of it, because I think for the first time in my career I had 2 goals in the first half, and we were 8 points down after about 6 or 7 minutes. But I think this was the fact that we were just so... We'd gone through the ringer. We'd been beaten in finals. We'd been beaten in semi-finals. For me, the big game really was the Cross Midland game. That was the game where there was a really big emotional kind of physical store put into. I think once we got over that, even the entanglement we got ourselves into early on in the match against Ballymun, we won the finals 50 minutes, I think, 2-10 to 6 points. So we dominated the game apart from the first 7 or 8 minutes. That was a really, really good, as I said, Ballymun team. But yeah, Ted Furman, who have actually ended up in quite friendly with in past years, great guy. He was American, Johnny Murray, one of our cornerbacks. And Johnny was 17 or 18 at the time, 18 I think at the time, and really, really playing really well. And Ted was doing really well, and yeah, there was a few verbals, you know, but nothing that mad. And I remember you know, targeting him really, because he was such a lightning kind of corner forward. He caused a lot of havoc in the first half, and I just had to remind him now and again that if he came in around the box, that he could end
get
up
some without physical treatment.
Yes,
perhaps.
Correct. Yeah. But we're very good friends, and he's a great lad. He was down at my house last year, and I think that's the king thing about football, you know. When it's on,
you offered him a drink, did you?
Yeah, we did. We had coffee and tea and the whole lot. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. We had it. It was great. And you know, we you know, that's the way football goes. You win some, you lose some. But what goes on the pitch stays on the pitch. And, sure. And then afterwards, you enjoy a pint and a bit of crack.
Did you go absolutely mad then? What happened?
It was a zoo. Like, Jesus, it was mad. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, that loan was mad. And, you know, going across the bridge, you have that whole emotional thing of bringing the Darren and Pigeon brought the cup over the bridge, and it was just unbelievable. But the following couple of days were just mad, like, you know, they were crazy. But again, as Eddie alluded to there as well, like, it's the old stagers in the club. God rest poor Pat Dinney, he's dead now, but like, that was for Pat, that was just the pinnacle. He could have died that and been brought away on the wings that night, and he would have been happy. God rest, my mum has died since. And there's a lot of people have passed on for whom that was an unbelievable occasion. And even looking back now, you know, there was a lot of mad stuff went on afterwards and bit of crack, you know. But they're the kind of stories that, not so much the football, like, at the end of the day, it's you win it,
it's
you
the
win
volunteers,
it.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And you win it, you win it. And if you don't, well, yeah, you have to, you know, you have to put your head under the cloud under the blanket for 4 or 5 days. But I think footballers, hurler, sports people were kind of, you know, you're relentless and you want to get back at it again. And
yeah.
We're just fortunate to win one, and delighted to win one. But it's not what you'd hope to be ever remembered by. But I think maybe some of the things we've done afterwards you don't want to be remembered.
Were you kissing
by
a player on the pitch or something?
Poor old Frankie. Yeah, geez, he hasn't been the better of it.
Eddie Brennan, you've been around the country quite a bit. You've been in like Laois, in Coola, in Roscrea. You've seen probably the whole rainbow, as it were, of the GA in terms of the people that Shane is talking about here, the people that are the cog in the wheel, the volunteers, the people who paint, you know, the posts, who sort out the clubhouse, and it's for them really just as much as the players, isn't it, that we're talking about?
Oh yeah, sure. It's the big, I suppose, banner that unites everybody, really, John. And I think, geez, Shane was on about reminding poor Ted Furman. I think I remember. Shane reminding a barman one night in the City West of an All-Star do as well. I think he had a quiet word with him. So he definitely left his mark around the place. But I look fortunate enough to get a couple of opportunities and just even, you know, I got to experience, I suppose, the downside again of, you know, this Kilmacud hurling team at the moment. You know, the last 2 years ago there, they beat Coola, who I was involved in the semi-final, and went on and got over the line and won the county final. And again this year, I think they popped cool in the semi-final again. So they have a good young team coming along, and you know, I think Johnny mentioned the likes of Niall Corcoran in that and how he has worked with all the people. But ultimately, it's like I said, it's the one banner that everyone wants to be involved in, that people, you know, people that do all the invisible work or the unseen work, you know, even the driving young lads around, bringing them from pitch to pitch, and you know, the daddies and mammies getting involved and helping out with the kids and all that, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you do get over the line and you win something, there's obviously the team and the management are the ones that are there on stage and that type of thing, and they get seen. But I think equally then, when you get to your back home to the club or to the parish or whatever it is, you know, that's when I suppose everyone, you know, really gets to enjoy that. And that's when, you know, I suppose the work that they do gets acknowledged. And like I said, there is there any better way of bringing a parish or a club together than that type of a journey? It's you know, it's utterly magical, and you know, if you get to experience that you know, moment of release that when the club gets over the line on the biggest stage of all for our club, it's just phenomenal. And you look in with that and you dream, and I suppose that's what young lads do, and every club wishes it's them.
Eddie, my highlight of the year was Tony Kelly's sideline in the Munster final, and he's got a chance today with Ballyea against Ballygunner, the All-Ireland champions, 3:15 throw, and we've Ashley and O'Reilly down there reporting. Like, for him, this is just as big as wearing that blue and saffron jersey.
There's a clash in jerseys.
No, I'd say I'm just trying to be smart myself. It's as big as for Tony Kelly playing for Ballyea as it is for Clare in a Munster final today.
Yeah, well, I suppose he's doing it in great colours, isn't he? he's wearing the black and amber there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think it is because, you know, people sometimes ask that question of you, you know, and I touched on it earlier about my, you know, club final disappointment, and you say to yourself, well, would you give them all up? You wouldn't, because it's a different context, but you'd do anything to have that opportunity or to win that one. And it's never about the medals either. It's just about the memories. It's about the journey. For players, it's the slog. It's the nights that you cut lumps out of each other on the training pitch, and the camaraderie and the friendship that grows out of that, and how far you're willing to go for each other when you get on the pitch and wear the jersey. But for someone like Tony Kelly, look, he's been an absolutely phenomenal player for, you know, so many years now. Like, it's as a 20 something year old in 2013, and he still comes back. And I think what's you'd have to be really impressed with him is that he produces big time for his club as well. And, you know, he may have had a slightly quieter day the last day, but that's what the good players do. They might get curtailed for periods of a match, and then they come up with a score when you really, really need it. And I think you've seen as well with Tony Kelly what it means to him. You know, I think he was, absolutely bucking around like a young lad again when they beat the Bears the last day. So, I think when you're lucky enough to play both, there's obviously that question will be asked which matters more. I think both equally, but there's no doubt about it. The club is just a really brilliant one because they're the guys you went to school with.
Ballygunner, they won the All-Ireland for the first ever time. They have the confidence of that. Will they be favourites this afternoon in your view, Eddie?
I will, yeah. Look, I think they have definitely earned the right to be favourites. They have when you look at even Ballygunner's journey, you know, they have suffered the school of hard knocks for a good few years, and they keep coming back and they keep coming back. They've won their county finals, I think 9 or 10 now in the spin, and they've got the few Munsters, and, you know, a few days there they've got popped when they were probably expected to be favourites. But yeah, it's, for me today they are, because they have a very good system of play, and they beat a really good Napiershig side, and, you know, for me, like 2 weeks ago, whatever, was one of the most entertaining club matches I've seen at this time of year, you know, in Limerick. So they had a real serious challenge thrown down from. But, you know, Ballyea, I think one thing I heard, you know, Gary Brennan saying the last day, they're afraid of nobody. They love those kind of cliffhanger matches where they're just a point or two down. They always believe that they can get a score out of something. And I think that's the key, obviously, for Ballyea, is that they don't let, you know, Ballygunner open up a big lead. But Ballygunner are a really powerful outfit. And I think, look, even after today, you know, you have the potential of, you know, either Kilmacud, Crokes or Ballyhale going to face into Ballyea or Ballygunner in an All-Ireland semi-final. I mean, that would be a fitting All-Ireland final, whichever of them four teams was to meet. So, you know, what a cracking All-Ireland semi-finals in store there.
Slach Neil, would you fancy them against Dunloy tomorrow?
Yes, Slach Neil, I suppose they're another fabulous club when you look at what they're achieving, you know, with the ladies and the fellas in that club, of a very, very small population. And I think for a few years ago, you know, they gave Ballyhale plenty to think about a few years ago. So, you know, they're, if they can get over Dunloy, I think, you know, and Thomas is there in Galway, and, you know, they'll fancy getting to the big day as well. So I don't think, you know, Dunloy are, again, a club with a lot of tradition as well in Ulster.
Just in terms of the counties before we go, Johnny, like Paul Mannion, your club man, and Jack McCaffrey set to be back with the Dubs for next year, Pat Gilroy as well. Kerry, I'll just look at Jack O'Connor's face on the front of the Irish Independent Sports section today. It was a close semi-final. Look, there are other teams in the mix as well, but the Dubs have got one thing on their minds for next year.
Yeah, look, Pat Gilroy coming back in, and Paul and Jack McCaffrey hadn't committed to the year. I think, you know, Desi has needs to take a bit of credit in terms of, you know, not being afraid of bringing Pat Gilroy in, who's already won his All-Ireland, and for me doesn't get enough credit for what he did when All-Ireland in 2011, after 3 years, just setting the standards. But look, for me, it makes them All-Ireland favourites with the two lads and then Pat involved. You know, the one thing about Pat, they have all the lads on their toes, so it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But like, it'd be Jack coming back, missing now a couple of years. Like, Paul has been pretty consistent. I know he's hampered last year and this year with injury, but you can see the form he had prior to injuries. But it'd be interesting to see how, like, if Jack is off the pace. But as I mentioned before, Jack McCaffrey off the pace pretty fast than the majority of the footballers that are left behind. So, like, he's that fast. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Still do a quick 100 metres, quicker than myself. Shane Curran, Roscommon, where is Roscommon football at the moment?
Good question. It's a good question. I think we'll find out a lot over the next few years where we're at and whether there needs to be a recalibration of what we're doing. We have a good side, but a lot of the players are at the wrong end. I think they've gone through a lot. They've had a lot of success, to be fair, but they've had a lot of hardship as well and serious defeats. And I think the defeat last year to Clare, it'll be interesting to see whether we can recover from that. Certainly Division 1, Davy Burke is the new manager. I'm delighted to see that Eddie Lohan has gone in as a coach. It gives us a local feel. And Eddie's been involved with some of these players at under 21 level. So it'll be a big year. I think we probably need to readjust our thought process and where we can go as a county. And Division 1 is probably a step too ahead.
You're kind of in that twilight zone between being an All-Ireland contender and being in the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah, I think we're closer to the Tailteann Cup than we are All-Ireland contender, is a fifth, the truth be told, and that's the reality of it. And
is that frustrating?
It is frustrating because there is potential, and I think, you know, there is potential for certain counties maybe to step out of the shadows of the greater counties. We are probably one of them. If we look back and see what Armagh did.
You get inspired by what Galway did, possibly?
Well, more so maybe what Armagh did from 97 maybe to 2005 or 6, because there were a similar type county, there was a similar type tradition. Galway are a huge county. From a numbers perspective, Mayo are a huge county. From a numbers perspective, we do actually create and we do nurture really good talent, but unfortunately we don't seem to be able to do it over a long period of time or be able to sustain it over a period of time. And maybe we need to look at a transfer system as well that I've mentioned in the past. But
Shane Walton,
yeah, exactly. I don't think he'll come back to play for Roscommon, unfortunately. But going back to what Johnny spoke about there earlier on, from a football point of view, a total football point of view, I'm just delighted to see Jack McCaffrey back playing football. I think it's he is to me one of the greatest footballers that have ever graced the game. He's just a magnificent player and a magnificent lad off the pitch too, apparently, and a good Arsenal supporter. It's great to see him back and great to see Paul Mannion back, and I think we'll have a brilliant championship next year.
Eddie Brennan, who do you support in the Premier League?
Man City,
okay.
And I've seen the hardships of the second division. There's a lad that was here at home, the club that I think just picked him off one time because everyone was Liverpool United and Arsenal and that kind of crack. So we suffered a lot of pain and we were probably like a secret society there for a while, keeping our heads down. But
Liverpool fan, by the way.
Johnny McGee.
You're all trailing in the Gunners' wake at the
Shane,
moment, boys. Are you?
Yeah. Well,
long season ago.
I'm telling you, to be fair, great club, Liverpool, great club. But Johnny McGee and Eddie Brennan, thanks for your patience. I know we had a few issues and we apologise to the listeners for those, but thanks for your patience and enjoy the club games tomorrow.
And
Shane Curran, thanks for coming in. We'll take the Arsenal jibes and we'll see you soon.
Brilliant, John. Really enjoyed it.
We're going to check in with Ashley and O'Reilly at Turles for Ballyea and Ballygunner after this.
I went over to Scotland about 6 weeks ago. We went on a whiskey distillery tour and it was sad and fantastic. And he was a beautiful man, wonderful man.
Subscribe to the Rugby Stream on the OTB Sports app now.